So welcome to Champagne Circus, Business with a Female Twist. And today we're going to have a very fun episode. I can feel that. If you could see us, which you can actually do on YouTube, you could see two females. And we didn't align on the dress, but we have a kind of dress code here in this room today. And it's been already a lot of fun because we managed the technology part in order to not having a pantomime podcast, which would be a very fun way as well. So welcome, Dylan. I'm super happy to have you here. All the conversations with you in the beginning and also now is just fun. And this is how you come across in your social media as well. You are a coach in that field. And what I really love is your boutique agency for service-based businesses, where you actually also provide social media services and you're running a team here. So welcome, powerhouse of a female. And I'm so excited, unpacking all these versions and aspects.
Thank you so, so much. I'm also super excited. What we had in the beginning is already giving me energy. I can't wait to discuss all the cool things and the magic with you.
Thank you so much. So basically, we missed in Berlin. That's actually fun, right? So my understanding is you're originally from Turkey. You lived a while in Berlin. Currently, you're in Dubai. And we actually missed. You've been in town for a while. And I was on Mallorca back those days. So tell me about this remote thing. Where do you feel home and how did that emerge, actually?
Really good question. By the way, I am not in Dubai currently. I came back to Turkey for a while. My next stop's going to be Lisbon, which I'm excited about. So I moved to Berlin 4 years ago when I really felt the calling for Berlin, because I do feel like calling for cities. And I really loved it. It was like a place of freedom. And I definitely found myself there, started my business. But then after a while, I started feeling like I did not belong there anymore. And I wasn't quite sure where I did belong. So that's why I closed my house and then went on a digital nomad journey. The last 6 months, I've been traveling. I have a little base in Turkey, but other than that, I've been to Bali, I was in Dubai, I was in Spain, I was in Greece, and I think Portugal. Like now Lisbon is calling me, so thinking about settling in there, but I'm really grateful that I have my business, that I can work online from wherever I want. And I got to experience so many different countries and cultures.
Awesome. And between us, I'm also traveling quite a lot. And I also spend 3.5 months on Mauritius during the winter time every now and then. And what I really find challenging is running a company and building a team remotely, completely remotely. And your boutique agency, I love that phrase, by the way, your boutique agency for social media is already having 2 employees. So you're a team. Can you share a little bit about the journey of building a team remotely, fully remotely, while really traveling, not having this one spot for creativity? And what are the challenges around traveling and building a company and a team?
Yeah, really good question. And I think about this topic a lot because it came, my business trajectory and my traveling always go hand in hand. And whenever I would think, I would make the mistake of thinking I need to stay in one place to quote unquote work harder. I always end up maybe I work more, but I don't really make more, So I feel like traveling really fills my soul. And that's why I found a way to manage my team and manage my daily routine, even when I'm traveling. But of course, in the beginning, it was actually really interesting. When I was hiring my recent 2 hires, I was always going somewhere or coming from somewhere. And I would have times that I would think okay, I need to postpone this. I'm traveling or I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But then I would postpone it. I would still be traveling or there will still be something. And I've kind of accepted that fact, and that really, really helped me. And for me, nothing gives me more like motivation to like work harder than like being responsible for a team. You know, like I can't just procrastinate the whole day. Like I need to actually like engage with them, answer their questions, lead them, right? So I use that as my advantage, because if I wouldn't have a team, I might say that, okay, like I'm not working today. I just had a flight, like I didn't sleep, you know, but because I do have it, I use that to my advantage. And of course, some days it's like hard, especially like when there's a time difference. And as you said, sometimes it's hard to like keep the employees motivated when you can't really see them. But I always see them as like people I'm dating, you know. I have this analogy of like marketing and dating, business and dating are very similar to me. And so I treat them as kind of like a lover. I send gifts. I always like think about cool things. For example, I'm going to this conference in Dubai, and I just talk to my team member that like I would love to have her if she achieved X, Y, and Z. And those kind of things that just keep the spark alive in the team as well. So it's fun, but it's also challenging, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I can totally relate to that. And I really like that you say the trajectory of your business changed through the team and through the responsibility you have towards them and the accountability as well towards them, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It really shaped my business to like, even, you know, they wouldn't have anything to do that day, but to think that, okay, like, oh, in X amount of days, we are going to do this. And then I need to think what they're going to do. So that makes me think what I'm going to do. So definitely a game changer.
I love that. It's a little bit reverse engineering, reverse thinking. So when we have that specific deadline, that specific milestone, whatever, converting back what needs to be done by you, what needs to be done by the team, but also like way forward, what is then changing, right? So it's also a little bit of allocation within the team, and also to really make sure everything is covered. So in this, let's say, planning process, when you say like, I need to think about what I need to do and what my team needs to do. How do you incorporate your team? How is your team involved in those processes?
So things change extremely fast with us. Also because, as I said, I have two sides of the business. So there's the agency side where we do a lot for clients to create the content for them. But then there is also the coaching side where I focus on sharing my expertise, and we don't have to do that much other than like marketing ourselves. So the how many coaching clients or how many agency clients we have always changes. That's why like the daily responsibilities of my team also change super fast. That's why we always have a weekly plan. So we always have a meeting on Mondays to decide like what are our priorities this week. And then for me, like the most important thing is to let them lead themselves and like let them have the courage to like take responsibility and also share with me when they fail or like when they feel like they don't have enough time to do certain things. They just feel not motivated. Like for me, it's very important to give them that space. So that is like the main part of my leadership, is to think about like, okay, this is our priority for this week, but where are you right now? So like, how would you like to go about this? Right. Like, and I have a rule, like, I don't care how many hours they work. I don't track things like that. You can work as long as they want, as they finish the task. And for me, the most fun part of it is just like giving them the lead. And I also always encourage them, like, you are going to make mistakes. It's completely okay. But how you react when you do make mistakes and like how much effort you put into fixing them, is really important for me. That's why I had that like a really long interview process to make sure that I had the right people who are like eager to learn from their mistakes instead of just like feeling overwhelmed or going completely lost. So for us, the Monday meetings, weekly priorities, and then letting them to lead, encouraging them to come with ideas, encouraging them to come to me whenever there's a problem, but with the recommendation of solutions are a really core part of how we work.
Oh, that sounds already like a strategic way of building your culture. And I really like me, this is where my passion really lies. And yeah, that's amazing. And what's pretty interesting, you said like I have built my routines around my challenges, and it feels like you already have a routine with your team with the Mondays and Fridays check-ins. So maybe you would like to explore that a little bit also for us and share with us how you mentioned, I don't care how long you take unless it's done in a specific way, not specific way, but in a specific quality, let's call it that way. And this is where very often people ask, yeah, but how? So it's a little bit like energetic payment. So do you charge priorities? Do you charge or do they charge energetically? Like how did you set up the payment system for your company in that sense, in this context and culture of I encourage you and I don't take care how long it takes unless it has a specific outcome? How do you balance that out?
So we decide in the beginning, like I calculate. So for me, it's really important that I have done already the tasks that I'm going to delegate. So I know like all the steps. I know like on average how long they take. I know how long they take in the beginning. I know how long they take when you mastered it, right? So that's why I set an average. And then in the beginning, for me, this was really fun to do. Like when people were interviewing, I asked them to do an example task. And I also asked them to keep track of time while they complete that task. That's why they can't be as themselves or me later in the process, because I already know their magic in how long it takes. And then also, like I choose people who are motivated truly to learn and to get better. That mostly ends up like people in our culture and company mostly end up being people who are like over delivering. Like they most of the time work actually more than what we would have paid. And sometimes like this happened last week, for example, one of my team members, she wasn't supposed to work on Friday, but as a CEO, like as a founder, we get ideas all the time, right? So I was texting her some stuff and she just keeps replying and like, she started working on things. And then I was like, well, you're not working today, you know? So I think it's important to choose the right people to begin with so they don't care about the time. But the structure we have is we decide on an average timeline, and then I pay them monthly. And then if new tasks come, like if the amount of time they put in is more or less, then we discuss about it. But as I said, most of the time they end up working more without asking for it because they are motivated with other things.
That's what we always call hiring for attitude and training for skills. Because as you said, you've done the task yourself. You have an average. You can train them. You can develop them. And it's just skills. Maybe you have a tendency that it's easy for you or a kind of talent, but it's something you can learn. And like you are training people to do social media, it's also a skill you can learn, but you have to have the attitude and the willingness to learn, and then you can do it, right? So I really love that approach. Thanks a lot for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was like a turning point for me in terms of hiring, when I decided that, okay, like I don't care how good you are. And it's hard in the hiring process when there is a person who is like obviously better at their craft, versus a person who's maybe like less good, but they are so much better fit culturally, I've trained myself to always choose that person instead, because as you said, like skill can be learned. And that was something like that really annoyed me when I was interviewing for roles, you know, especially in the beginning when I didn't have any knowledge and like I would get rejected because I quote unquote, I didn't have enough knowledge. But I would get so annoyed, like, how am I supposed to get knowledge if nobody hires me, right? So for me, it's kind of like giving back when I'm hiring those people who are not like super skilled maybe, but who are really committed, really ambitious and really a good cultural fit, because I was there once myself as well.
Mm-hmm. So personally, you just touched base in the very beginning on the challenges you had to overcome while traveling and hiring. And also based on my experience, when you hire, when you're leading a team, when you're building a company with a team, there are personal challenges related. So what was it for you? Where did you have to grow personally as a person in order to hold a team, to build a team, to, like you just said, ooh, I have to train myself to remind cultural fit before a skill set. So what have been those challenges, those personal growth opportunities in this process of building your boutique agency alongside a coaching business?
Oh my God, so many. Where do I begin?
Maybe let's keep it to the team building and like the cultural perspective, because I know there are so many, but that like we had to focus on that somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one thing that comes up immediately is that like I value team members a lot. And I learned to always value them over clients, actually. Like, and there are going to be hard clients. Like, as you grow, the amount of hard clients increases as well. So for me, one of the challenges or like growing points I had was to learn how to communicate and like how to lead the hard conversations between client and team member and me, you know, like having that triangle, because at some point when your clients start getting directly in touch with your team members, like in our case, they had their own social media managers. And if client is not happy for whatever reason, which does happen, you are still responsible for both the client and the team member, and you value both of them. But for me, it was definitely a learning to let go on aligned clients and value my team over them, because I know that they would stay. Other things are, I think in the beginning, like for me in the beginning when I was hiring, I didn't know anything at all. I was just like, okay, I feel like I could hire now. And I remember asking one of my mentors, how do I make sure I hire the best? Mm. And I'll never forget his reply. He said, you can't hire the best. In the beginning, you are just going to hire who you can afford. And then you're going to keep, as you grow, you're going to keep hiring better and better skilled people. So for me, the biggest mistake, I would say, was waiting to hire until I was ready and learning to trust myself that I can like pay the employee, I can find more clients once I have that peace of mind. Because once I hired for a part-time employee for the first time, I'll never forget, I was like, oh my God, like I have so much time and I can actually focus this time into getting more clients. And I was kind of sad or like, yeah, maybe a little disappointed at my past version that I did not trust in my ability in the past to do that more, because I think that is the biggest priority or like biggest awareness of a leader, that we trust, we believe in something that does not yet exist. And it's so easy to like get lost and say like, okay, like this thing obviously doesn't exist. We don't know if it will ever come. But if you do trust in yourself, in your vision, and then things really start happening faster. So for me, the biggest learning was, and I always say this to my clients, hire before you're ready, and it really will pay off.
It's so fun because it's a quote I'm always using, and I've been on various podcasts in the past in German versions talking about that topic because leadership and leadership trainings is on my plate since 7 years already. And like I always say, hire before you're ready, because you never feel ready unless you're in it. And it's just accelerating growth, not only personal, but also in your business, right? So it's for me one of the most fun ways, if you overcome this paradigm of, ooh, it has to be hard, it has to be perfect, it's ruining my money, it's burning my money. It's like if you overcome all those burdens or hurdles or, you know, limiting beliefs, actually, it can be the most fun actually in life to have a team of like-minded people around you believing in your vision, because you mentioned, and that's so beautiful, pact, as a founder, we believe in something which is not yet existing. And we are selling these dreams to our employees and they help us in making it happen. And this is why this, like, this is how it feels to me and female business scaling, right? Having those team members and those people around me believing in that vision, which was initially a little flame, the flame becomes a bursting fire, and that makes us completely unstoppable.
Absolutely. I love that.
So what's super impressive, if I may say so, observing your social media and scrolling a little bit back in time, it's incredible how quickly and fast, and this is again underlining the accelerated growth with team members, you just converted from a little girl into a strong woman and still continuing this path. And one YouTube video really stood out for me. It was the bro marketing versus female marketing. So I really appreciate that you are coming in from the little girl perspective, like little girl energy, into the female women empowered, empowered version of you now talking about this very specific way of marketing and communicating in a female way, because I totally believe we communicate, we sell differently, we market differently, we lead differently, like, you know, all those aspects. So what does that mean? So please, for all those who didn't watch the YouTube, and we're going to share it in the YouTube, in the, not in the YouTube links, the YouTube link in the show notes, but for those who didn't grab that yet, in summary, what are the main difference in your perspective?
Oh my God, that's currently my favorite topic. So bro marketing, so we have differences as men and women, right? And there are masculine and feminine way of doing things. So we all have both energies, but mostly female bodies have more feminine energy, whereas male bodies have more masculine energy. And as it is manifested in our bodies, which I find fascinating, the masculine is about like getting into something, right? It's like focused, directed. It has a goal. And whereas feminine is more like openness and letting things in, and like more process, more joy, more pleasure. And because business had been in the hands of men for a very, very long time until we actually stood in, a lot of business content has been done in a masculine way until now, because they were selling to men, right? So it made sense. Women had less buying power, which meant that all the marketing was focused on just getting one thing, which is the sale. And I love making this analogy of, as I said, dating is really like marketing, because imagine, and women listening to this, I think, can relate. Imagine you go out on a date with a guy and he only has one thing in his mind, which can be like potentially to get you in bed, you know? And how annoying is that? Like, we as women, we do not like that. We want to have a beautiful date. We want to have encouraging conversations. We want to be a romance. And then at the end, something can happen, but that is just not our goal. And that is how we are built differently. So how this shows in marketing is bro marketing is just like focus on the sale. Just give me your money. And I don't care about anything else. It is just about like that one moment. Whereas feminine marketing is like, I truly care about you and I truly care about creating a relationship between you and I. You might buy from me right now. You might buy from me in 5 years. But I really care about your growth. And I truly believe in what I have to give you is going to change your life. So I'm just going to keep marketing it to you. But sale is not going to be in my head all the time, which doesn't mean, by the way, we are never going to ask for the sale. Of course, we're going to ask. Of course, women wants to get things done as well, but it is just not our goal. And I found out that this is the most magnetic thing in an ocean of bro marketers, especially if you're selling to women. They really love to be played with and get excited about other than like buy my thing, call DMs, and just focus on that. We are so done with it.
Oh, that's really beautifully described, and I can underline that because the way we communicate, I did a quite deep analysis in how men communicate success to a team member or to a team and how female do that. And it's a completely different language, right? So the male, when they are sharing a success in business and shared with their teams, they are like, hey, well done. And you specifically, you've been like the next mile. It's like, wow. And quite egocentric and, you know, celebrating each and every individual in that. While the females tend to communicate, wow, well done, team. We reached that. Think about the impact we had. Now we can focus on this next together. So the way of communicating is not highlighting a single contribution within the team to achieve that. It's more about highlighting the team efforts and this impact and this next evolution from there as a part of communicating success for teams. And that's super interesting. And it's just inspirational how you unpack that for marketing.
Beautiful. Yeah, I haven't thought about that way. But when I look back, I can definitely see like when female leaders versus male leaders, definitely there's a difference in leading. And females are more focused on we and we did it. And there is definitely the male ego point. Beautiful awareness there as well.
It's incredible. It's incredible that you're doing that and that you help female entrepreneurs and really learning that skill in marketing. Like, how do you communicate and market as a female? And you also have this boutique agency to provide that actually, because I really feel it's so needed. It's time to change. And if we're looking at your boutique agency, where are you heading to? So you started in 2019 and you had a rapid growth in regards personally, but also business-wise. So where are you heading to with your boutique agency? What is your vision for the next 5 to 10 years?
Oh, I feel like in a job interview now. I actually I've written down my vision like a couple of years ago, and I'm really impressed by like how much has been already made possible, but I'm also really open for surprises. And this year, my motto is delusional growth. So I'm definitely open for growth that does not make sense. Right now, I'm actually really focused on growing the coaching side. Because the agency kind of like grows on itself, because these days a lot of people need social media, and we've already proven that we are good at this. We can get you more clients, So I'm happy when it keeps growing, like when it stays as a boutique agency. But my main priority is right now to grow my coaching community. And I've been really taking actions, like thinking about 3 to 5 years in mind. So my vision is to grow my community by millions and spread the message of showing up as your boldest version, your most authentic version, your most confident version. And I really feel like I'm going to get more into dating as well. Like that is a goal of mine, also because I study psychology and now I love that. Like I'm blending the two, but at some point my vision is to also do some coaching there, definitely.
Wow. Cool. And I really love the analogy of dating in marketing and dating in hiring and dating in leading. So thank you so much for this super inspirational conversation. And as mentioned, you're so young in the business and so young as a person. It's incredible where you are at. And I'm super sure you will lead your way. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun. Super happy to get to know you. Can't wait to meet in person one day in Berlin.
For sure.